This is a Christian persecution update on Charisma News. I'm your host, Jesslyn Lancaster. Joining me today is David Curry of Open Doors. Guys, he's talking about Nigeria, and there is so much persecution happening there. In fact, he calls it a genocide, even though the United Nations has not issued a report on that yet. We encourage you to listen to this update, to really pray for your brothers and sisters across the world and know what's going on. This feels especially close to my heart because a few months ago I got to go to Rwanda. I saw firsthand the effects of the genocide, and I really don't want that to happen in another country. We like to say never again when it comes to very painful issues. But right now, this is happening before our eyes. Listen to the update after this sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by the ebook Revelatory Combat by Ryan LaStrange. Revelatory Combat is a concise look into the prophetic ministry and the partnership between prophets and apostles. It provides clarity for the battle facing the church in this hour. Ryan LaStrange and Charisma Magazine are proud to offer you a year-long subscription of Charisma Magazine, as well as a download of Revelatory Combat for only $20. If you'd like to take part in this offer, be sure to visit combat.charismamag.com or call 1-800-749-6500 and mention the word combat.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jesslyn Lancaster, and joining me today is David Curry of Open Doors. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you for having me on.
It is a pleasure to have you here. Now, Open Doors is a watchdog group that tells us what's happening with Christian persecution worldwide. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening right now in Nigeria?
Well, what Open Doors does, first of all, is we started many years ago to try to help support persecuted believers. At that time, it was in the Soviet Union behind the Iron Curtain. Mm-hmm. And now it's in many of these places around the world, like Nigeria. So when we talk about the difficulties in Nigeria, we do it from a firsthand basis. We're there with the church, standing with them, understand their needs. And to do that well, we do on-the-ground research, grassroots research, talking to people, making sure we understand how many churches have been attacked, if there has been attacks, or how many believers have been persecuted. And we rank those. Mm-hmm. And right now, Nigeria is the 12th most difficult place on our world watch list. That is a shocking placement. It's a really a list of shame is what it is. Mm-hmm. And Nigeria is up there because it's a country that's divided in two. You have a country that has really millions of Christians in Lagos and in the south of the country. And then in the north, you have 12 regions of Nigeria, which are run under Sharia laws, 12 states, so to speak. And what that means is that you have people who are trying to impose the most severe forms of Islam on Christian populations and using their Sharia law to enforce these sorts of things. That means things like forced marriage. If a Christian woman is kidnapped, it could be forced into a marriage. It's not uncommon there. It means if there's a religious motive, you might say, some of these groups feel like they can, under the cover of law, push Christians out of their villages, off their land. And it's just seen this incredible rise because of this set of circumstances in the violence against Christians.
Now, I'm going to try to say this, so bear with me. The president is Muhammadu Buhari, is that correct?
Yes.
And he is part of a group of Muslims called Fulani herdsmen. Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Sure. The Fulani is a tribe, you might say, that has lived in the northwest part of Nigeria. And they are part of the issue here because they feel they have a historic claim to certain parts of the land. Mm-hmm. So they say. But essentially what's happened is that some of the Fulani have been radicalized by jihadist groups. And so you're not talking, when you hear the term Fulani herdsmen, people think, oh, isn't that sounds sweet.
All the pictures are them with like cattle. When I've tried to look up pictures of Fulani herdsmen, they're just hanging out under trees with their cows.
Yeah, it's It's a fiction, because what happens is that you're talking about men with guns, AK-47, that come into these Christian villages, and they kill. They've killed more people than Boko Haram, which is the other jihadist group in the north side. Believe it or not, they have two jihadist groups in the
north
of Nigeria.
And I have also heard that the Islamic State, as they're being driven out of the Middle East, are finding a new home in Nigeria as well.
Well, they have been giving. Islamic State and Boko Haram are so closely tied, there's almost no distinction. Mm. They consider themselves connected. And ISIS sent a great deal of money and bomb-making technology, kinds of things, to Boko Haram. So they've been supporting them. But back to your earlier question, the Fulani are, at this point, they're acting as jihadists with sophisticated weapons, killing Christians. These two forces together have brought people to the point that they consider that this might be on the verge of being a genocide in Nigeria.
It's absolutely horrible. Now, as working for Charisma News, it's my privilege to report on what's happening in the Kingdom of God. And in the United States, we have Trump and Secretary Pompeo, as well as Vice President Mike Pence, who have really stood up against Christian persecution worldwide. How do you think this has made an impact in Nigeria?
Well, thus far, it's not done a lot in Nigeria. That's not to relegate some of the important things that have been said and some of the things that are being done. But what you have here is, it's really indicative of Africa as a continent, because you have very ineffective leadership. Buhari himself comes from the Fulani tribe. He shows no interest in cracking down on his political base. And on top of it, the corruption has stripped out the country. So you would have situations in the north of Nigeria where the government says, well, they've just kidnapped 100 Christian women. We're going to send the army up there. But the Boko Haram has more bullets than the army because the army's so poorly funded, so poorly trained. So it's like they're turning the wheel and it's not connected to anything. So you have that level of ineffective leadership. So really, I think our State Department has been exceptional in trying to articulate what's happening with Nigeria, but getting their partners in Nigeria to do something, or getting to the point where they can do something, has been very frustrating.
And I will say, what's frustrating to me as well is, so I work for a Christian media organization, and we're reporting on these atrocities. You know, sadly, we get reports almost every single week that another village has been attacked, more people have been killed, pastors have been murdered, and I can't get my readers to care. How can I get them to care about what's happening?
Well, it's an indictment, to be sure, of the nature of the American church right now. And it's somewhat understandable, because we are so distracted and also inundated with bad news that you either become a little bit numb, or you just never see it amongst all the other bad news that's out there. So here's what I think really needs to happen. And I've called for this myself. You might say I'm a bit of a critic of Christian leadership, because I think that's where it starts. This focus, self-focus on perpetuating megachurch mentality, super pastor mentality, has kept grip on the agenda of Sunday morning for too long. And I just feel like when we're not talking about it in the pulpit, it's not making it into the minds and the hearts of the people. So I view it like this. Every church, every Sunday, should be talking about, thinking about, praying about, in some small way or large way, their brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted for their faith. And I say that not because this is the issue of the moment, but because, and I think it is and it will be, but because it's what I call a universal calling. There are some callings in the Bible. You have a gift. You have a spiritual calling to preach or to be an evangelist or to have hospitality or ministry, all these various things. But there are some things which Jesus in the scripture says, hey, we all need to do this. Mm-hmm. And one of those, in my mind, is when we're called everyone to pray for our brothers and sisters in faith who are in prison for the name of Jesus, as if it were our own family, as if it were ourselves. And to me, that's critically important that we understand that. That's where it starts. Look at this as, this isn't separate from me. The fact that these people live in a town that you never heard of in northern Nigeria, they're your family. And they've been targeted, not because of territorial concerns or straight out politics, but because they have claimed the name of Jesus as their own. They had a transformational experience with Jesus. And for that, they become a target of extremist groups. So we need to stand with them, pray for them, let our voices be heard on their behalf.
Amen. Now, I'm going to try to say, I think it's the plateau state where a lot of this is happening. Is that correct?
Yeah, in the northeast part of the country, it's kind of helpful to think of it in thirds. In the south of the country, you have a large Christian population. To the northeast quadrant, you have the states that are being attacked by Boko Haram, this ISIS group, and to the northwest is the Fulani jihadist group.
And it seems like Christians are surrounded on both sides no matter where they go.
Exactly, yeah.
That's heartbreaking. Now, one of the things that I have heard, I keep saying that a lot in this podcast, but I've read a lot about Nigeria and what's happening because I do care deeply and I feel like it's my job as a Christian reporter to let the body of Christ know what's happening, is I've heard many comparisons to the Rwandan genocide down to very graphic descriptions of land just being overrun with blood. What have you seen or heard about this?
Yes, I mean, people often are confused of what does it mean when there's, you know, it says genocide. They've worked out the legal definitions in the UN and elsewhere. So it's clear when you get to the point of seeing what happened that this is a genocide in the sense that a genocide is defined as when a particular group is targeted because of their race or their faith for extermination or for dislocation. So if they say, we're going to get rid of all these Christians, and then they systematically go about and do that through murder, through pressure, through violence, through raids on villages and starting fires that burn the place down and level it. Okay, that is genocide. But in our weird world, you're sort of not allowed to call it a genocide until it's legally been determined to be a genocide. In other words, political factors. So right now, with everybody so distracted, there's just not been a lot of attention on the fact that this genocide is happening. You've had, over the course of this last decade, hundreds of thousands, maybe more, Christians dislocated, pushed out of the north villages and cities and towns because they've been attacked and they want safety down to the south. That dislocation in and of itself would be, I think, defined as a genocide because they are saying, we're going to get rid of all these Christians. But it's not just a dislocation. It's attacking of villages, murdering of people. Thousands of them every year have been killed. I think just shy of 4,000 last year were killed in Nigeria, not because of a civil war, mind you, but because they were Christians. Imagine that. If you had any other population on earth that had 4,000 people killed in a year for their definition, people would be screaming from the rooftops about it.
We always say never again, and yet it's happening right now.
It's happening. It's happening. So we do need to raise the volume on this. But there's things that the church can do. And this is what Open Doors really we want to stand with them. And so we want to give aid to them. Many times these Christian villages, they congregate together for safety and for family reasons. They're cut off from food. We want to make sure that they have food to eat this summer. We want to make sure that if a church gets built down, if we have any opportunity to rebuild it, we want to rebuild it. We must stand with those believers who are persecuted for their faith.
Mm-hmm. So what are some practical ways that my listeners can get involved with what you're doing?
Well, I think first step, we're not just saying this for you know, sort of, because it sounds like the right thing to do,
mm-hmm.
but put down Nigeria on your prayer list.
Mm-hmm.
We need to mobilize prayer for this, because there are some things that we can't do clearly. But I also think that as people come to know what's going on, watch videos, listen to the stories, read what Charisma has said about this, and see the real lives. Fall in love with your brothers and sisters there who are really experiencing this in a deep way,
mm-hmm.
and kind of get educated on it. But then there are projects. There are things, Open Doors and others are doing in the north of Nigeria. They're going to help the Body of Christ first to survive, and then hopefully over time thrive. Because there is, even in the darkest moments, you see these stories of God's faithfulness. There's a young woman, Aisha, living in the north, and she was awoken by Fulani herdsmen, these Fulani jihadists over their part of Nigeria. And they had noticed earlier that she had a Bible. And so they attacked her and sexually assaulted her. And she was just absolutely broken. She came to an Open door supported trauma care program. She received counseling and with other victims of sexual violence in Nigeria. But to see then how God has been transforming her life and helping her rebuild and then be salt and light, and to share her experience and her healing as she's going through it with other women who have likewise been attacked when sexual violence is used as a weapon by these jihadists against Christians. Mm-hmm. It's just it's hard to see the pain, but it's beautiful to see how God brings pain, you know, beautiful things out of the pain. You never want to go through it, but this is just the real stuff. This is the stuff of the New Testament. When you read the New Testament, it's not all puppies and flowers. It's hard stuff. It's a book written by persecuted believers.
There's violent persecution in the New Testament.
Violent persecution, imprisonment. And these believers are walking through their faith, trying to figure it out, like, hey, Lord, where are you? And then he shows up and he helps them through the dark times. And, you know, that's what's happening right now in Nigeria.
Mm. What are some examples of the Lord showing up right now in Nigeria?
Well, one thing that you see is that the church, while it's under great pressure, and there are signs that it's feeling worn out and isolated, because if they're hanging in there in the north, they're under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also true that what it has done is there's been a healing amongst many of the denominations here in the West. When we're talking about our brothers and sisters in faith, we're often divided by denominations, but under pressure, persecution, a lot of times people realize this person in another denomination, they're dying for Jesus too.
Mm.
And they could just as easily walk away, but they don't. Why? Because they love him. And all of those small, insignificant, in the big picture, things that we sort of, that separate us here, they drop away. And so you see this healing.
Amazing.
Of the body of Christ in Nigeria in that way. And I think that's one of the silver linings.
I love to hear that. I love to hear about the church unifying. Now, we only have a few more minutes left. What do you think is the most important thing for our listeners to know today?
I think they need to know that there's a genocide against Christians in the north of Nigeria. They need to pray for it.
Mm.
And they need to take action to get educated. We have a prayer app, Pray for the Persecuted, on every platform, Apple and so forth, that just gives people updates when something's happening urgent. We don't bombard you. It might be only three little notifications a week, or maybe even one or two. So get get that app, get connected to prayer, get educated. And then if God moves you in your church, share it with people and find something that you can adopt and you can help a person, a group, a church rebuild, feed some Christians. There's all kinds of practical things you can do if the Lord moves you.
Mm-hmm.
We're too often moved by the flavor of the day. I want the Lord to move the heart of his people here in the West.
Amen.
To care for the brothers and sisters in Nigeria.
Absolutely. David, thank you for stopping by the show today. Listeners, for more information about what David does and how you can be involved with helping the persecuted Christians in Nigeria, be sure to check out Open Doors. And for me personally, I like to follow Charisma News for this news, but we can also find a lot on World Watch Monitor. So these are ways that you can track what's happening there. For more interviews like this, be sure to check out cpnshows.com. I'm Jesslyn, and I'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.